Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the LA detective.
You know, I made a joke in text that Long could be a character in this movie, and especially when he had the ponytail going, and you know, and the suit and everything, he definitely could have been. He could have fit. Well, maybe I don't know. Maybe not the time frame, because unfortunately, this movie takes place at a certain time. But things were a little racist in this movie.
Yeah, just a little bit, you know.
But Long could
just a little bit, huh?
Man? Long could have pulled off. Long could have pulled off the detective look. That's all I'm saying. So how are you, fellas?
Good. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm all right. I'm being a little hopeful. I got a job interview earlier this week for a different position in the company, so I'm crossing my fingers.
Hopeful is good.
That's awesome, man.
You've been a little cranky today, it felt, too, in your text messages.
I have been.
That's why I called you grumpy.
I was grumpy.
Are you anxious? You're anxiously waiting the decision?
And I'm anxious, and I'm on edge, and I got tired of listening about Dogecoin, and then I'm like...
You were just jealous that you don't have any.
No, not jealous, just, like, whatever.
But, I've been pretty anxious, and my anxiety's been through the roof this week for reasons that I will not talk about.
Nothing compared to your anxiousness, of course. I've been my usual dour self.
I've been a little cranky and stuff, too, you know, but, it is what it is. I will, solve my problems in the way I see fit, you know, and, that's all good.
Well, if the state senate passes the open carry no license handgun thing, well, there you go, Mark.
Well, technically in Texas, you don't have to have a license as long as it's registered, have the gun on your property or in your vehicle. So, you know, so there you go. Yeah. So, bang bang, pew pew.
Bang bang pew pew.
And but other than that, it was an okay week, I guess, for the most part. It was just your standard work, pick up kids, go to baseball practice kind of week. So got to brag on my little middle son who's playing baseball, because he got the game ball after the game last week, and he was extremely proud of himself, and I was proud of him, and it was a nice little moment.
That's good, man.
He was so happy. So
that's got to be a really good confidence booster.
He's only got just this week left, but we have three games this last week. Assuming we play tomorrow, as it's been a rainy evening here in Houston, so hopefully the fields aren't too wet tomorrow to play. So we'll see. But we needed the rain, I guess, but not really, because my yard's getting long. I'm gonna have to call a Mexican to come cut it. Oh shit, I just made like a racist comment in a way on the podcast. It was an inside joke with Matt. Okay, yeah, people, so don't get mad. Matt always knows I said investment. So damn, I just sort of speeded that out. Mexican, come on my yard.
Without hesitation.
We don't get offended. We make those jokes at ourselves all the time. I had a friend that was a Hispanic in high school, and he'd be like, "Hey man, how tall you want your yard?" So it's just, you know, it's how we joke. It's the dark sense of humor, you know. You just have have that dark sense of humor.
Except we don't make him DeLong very often, because he threatens to kill us.
That's right. Yeah. We know we will die a slow, agonizing death.
Yes. You know, every now and then I slip an Asian joke in there, but I always feel like I'm going to die if I do it.
You two are dead, but you don't even know it.
You know, that's some monk type shit going on there.
You guys are dead. Just don't realize it.
Pulling the whole Sarah Connor thing again.
On that note...
No, Fist of the North Star.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that puts it. So let's get into today's show then, shall we? Officially, download this where we tell people what we watched, streamed, and checked out this week, video games. And man, I slacked bad on this. I don't really recall if I remembered watching anything. So while I think about that, whoever wants to go first can go. Because I know I didn't get Falcon Watch yet today. I will watch over the weekend. I just didn't get a chance to watch the new episode today.
Yeah, I watched episode 5 mainly focuses on the whole consequences of episode 4. It's mainly, just character resolutions and motivations and stuff like that. So you didn't miss much yet. But they're interesting character progressions. For me, at least, that's my download this. I didn't do anything else. Just watch random YouTube videos and that's about it.
Nice.
YouTube is for people who are bored, as one of my best friends has said.
So I guess my kids are bored all the time since they're always watching YouTube.
Yeah.
Either they're bored or trying to do a DIY, I would say.
Yeah.
One of those two.
No, I was bored.
You're bored?
Yeah. I was in no motivation to watch any DIY stuff.
I got caught up on Captain America Winter Soldier, or Captain America Winter Soldier, Falcon Winter Soldier, and I like where the series is going right now. Definitely some character progressions in the last episode, and man, dude, I think the actor that plays the new Captain America,
John Walker,
I think he does a really good job of making you hate him. And that's the purpose. It's like, yeah, at first I just didn't like him because of his face.
Well, no, for me personally, I reacted differently. I was kind of sympathetic towards him, so rather than hate him, you know.
Yeah, I do feel like he can't handle the superheroes superhero soldier serum, and that it's kind of affected him in a bad way. I mean, he's, you know, definitely a good soldier that didn't translate into a good super soldier, unlike Steve, someone that, like the doctor said, you know, someone who has power doesn't appreciate it, and someone who never had it knows the value of strength. And I think that became evident when he got angry. And he just started turning, you know. And now, you'll see the last episode. I know Mark hadn't seen the last episode.
Quit spoiling it, Matt.
But yeah, man, it just the way it turns. I'm like, you know, where is this going with him? Is he, you know?
I said, stop spoiling it, Matt.
I'm not going to give any specifics. I'm just like, man, there's a lot of speculation.
You just want to hear yourself talk, Matt. No, I'm joking.
But I watched that, man. I watched something else. I just can't exactly remember what I watched.
Shin Godzilla?
No, I did not. I didn't want to, but I was like, I wanted to get caught up. It was something that I started and didn't even get to get into that much anyways. But
okay, we're done here. Yeah, that's, all right, Mark, what's
that's joking, man. That's okay. Yeah, Mark, damn. Your turn.
That's just kind of harsh.
I feel like he's harsh today, man.
Yeah, I told you he's in a mood. I can tell by his text messages earlier. He's long as like, take no prisoners, fuck everybody.
I'm just being on the edge today. I don't know why. I have no idea why.
I got stuff that
maybe it's a full moon.
I got stuff that could take that edge off, but I didn't watch much. I feel like there was something I put on the background the other day. Disney Plus put on the vintage Star Wars stuff, and I had the Ewok movie on the other day, kind of watching it. And I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like thinking to myself, you know, if you put yourself in 1984, you know, they asked for more Star Wars, and you had all these sets and costumes built already, and you watch it, and it's not great. But if you put yourself in that mindset of that time frame, it's not terrible either. Considering they're made for television in the U.S., released theatrically in Europe. They're not great either. But, you know, you just have to kind of put yourself in that mind frame of when they were made. And, you know, because the world was still hungry for more Star Wars at the time. And so it's interesting to see what came out of those, I guess, in some ways, and watch that old Star Wars stuff. I tried watching an episode of the Ewoks cartoon, and that's bad. The Droids cartoon is watchable because I have a DVD of that. And it's, you can watch it, but that Ewoks one. Good Lord, I don't know what they were thinking. Just the song, it's hard to make it through the intro song alone, let alone an episode. And it's really, really terrible. But, you know, that's about all I really remember checking out this week. I wanted to watch more of Invincible on Amazon Prime. I just hadn't had a chance to after watching the first episode. And
I thought you were talking about the Mark Wahlberg movie.
No, the cartoon that's based on the Robert Kirkman comic. And so I haven't gotten a chance to get back to watch any of that yet. But I want to, though. But only got a week left of baseball, so I should hopefully have a little more time to watch some stuff. But I am ahead of the game. I've already started watching the movie we're doing next week, at least. I watched about the first 45 minutes of it last night. So you know, I'm on top of things. So
there we go.
But well, let's get into today's featured film then. A movie from 1997 with an all-star cast, directed by Curtis Hanson, and starring pretty much Russell Crowe's first huge starring role. I mean, he had done Virtuosity and a couple of things before this, but this was one of his first lead roles, along with Kevin Spacey and Guy Pearce and James Cromwell and Kim Basinger, who won Best Supporting Actress for this, I believe, right? And a bunch of other people in this movie, and that is L.A. Confidential. And this was a first-time watch for the two of you, and which I'm not surprised Matt had to see. I was a little surprised Long had not seen this movie.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen it.
But, you know, so I guess do you might want to summarize?
I'll do it. Basically, it's set in 1950s, right?
I think it's like 53, 54, yeah.
Yeah, 1950s.
They mentioned the year once, and I want to say 53, but yeah, 50s.
Yeah. And there's a crime wave going on in 1950s L.A., and you have like three different detectives or three different police officers in the LAPD, two of which are in the detective bureau, one of which is an up-and-coming rookie cop played by Guy Pearce, and then Kevin Spacey is your Hollywood consultant detective making pretty good money. And then you have Russell Crowe's character, who's kind of the bulldog character of very impulsive and just solves crimes with his fists, apparently.
His instincts, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Muscling people into their confessions. But anyways. So yeah, three separate stories going into the movie. And then gosh, man, this is hard to summarize because there's three different plot threads going on. But it's done in a way where you can follow, and then it all comes down to the focal point of the Night Owl Cafe massacre, where one of the ex LAPD detectives were killed, and from that hit comes another big mystery of who did it. At first, it was three suspects that were accused of the massacre, but they were framed for it because they were had criminal records and they were black, so it was easy to pin on them, I guess.
Well, very and corrupt. Then, well, the department itself is very corrupt too.
Yeah, extremely corrupt. But let's see. But anyways, a big mystery surrounding the whole Night Owl shootings massacre, and it all boils down to Kevin Spacey, Guy Pearce, and Russell Crowe digging deep into the corruption of the bureau, and eventually they find out that it was Jim Cromwell's character all along, the captain of the bureau, who was masterminding the whole thing and the latest crime wave and all that good stuff.
And it was all being financed through a a porn maker basically.
Yeah, a fancy porn maker. And the porn maker gets offed, gets taken out, and anyways, then the eventual team up between Guy Pearce's detective and Russell Crowe's detective, and it comes down to the big shootout at the end between them versus the bad corrupt cops. And yeah, that's my summary. That was a really bad summary.
Well, there's a lot going on. There's three storylines, and there's so
I'm
much.
I'm just glad it coalesced into one storyline by the middle of the movie. Yeah,
it's like looking at an onion about halfway through. There's a lot of layers. You've got the press that's kind of interlooped into the department, and you've got the porn people. You got Kim Basinger's character, who's kind of in on it a little bit and plays her part.
Well, they make throughout the movie, they make you think that her character, Lynn, is in on it. But really, she's not in on it as much as we think once we get to the end of the film. Yeah, she really is just sort of stuck in the middle of it all.
Yeah. And she likes these people that are, her employers trying to, intricate in this whole ordeal. But it's crazy how all the police work kind of comes together and it loops around, because it does seem like a little bit of like, how are they going to connect everything in the middle because of all the different storylines. But I feel like it's handled really well. Russell Crowe is great, in his role. It's kind of like that old school tough cop, going to slam some people up against the wall, get a confession out of them, like Long said, by holding them over, a ledge to their death and say, you're gone.
I think everyone's really good in this movie. I think it's really well acted. And it's well shot and it's well edited too. And like you said, you have all these storylines coming together, but the direction of Curtis Hanson, the editors, do such a good job of bringing it all together. So you are able to follow it. And it's a really well-paced movie, too. It goes by briskly, even at 2 hours and 20 minutes. And I'm curious y'all's initial thoughts, being the first time y'all watched this, because I know I hyped this movie up a little bit, and I think this is a great, great crime thriller. And so I wonder what y'all think first time watching it.
Matt, did you like it?
I liked it. I thought it was great.
Who was your favorite character in it?
Ooh. I mean, it's got to be Russell Crowe's character. I mean,
lie. You like the captain more.
The captain.
You like the captain.
No. He's it's the
Blue Lives Matter, Mark. I mean, Matt. No, I'm joking.
he's more layered. Russell Crowe's more layered than we give him credit for. This whole macho thing that he has going on is really to guard himself.
Right.
He himself is very fragile, but he doesn't want to come off as that yet.
And he also sticks to his moral center too, despite all the corruption around him.
Mm-hmm. Something happened to him, that is revealed a little bit, through the film, his hate of women beaters, and women abusers. And you see that all the time throughout the film. He's got a nice little arc there. Exley, I didn't like him at first, but I grew to like him. Towards the end of the film, I thought he was a sellout, like maybe there are some things that he, should have maybe backed his guys in blue on. But then it's like whenever things got really corrupt and it's not just like a fight that you're trying to cover up, you're trying to cover up something much deeper and much more evil. And, then he did the right thing. And he even got the police chief, I guess that's the top police chief, because I don't know what Cromwell's character is exactly.
He's the captain of the entire detective.
That's right. He's the captain. The police chief was the one that he seems like he's trying to walk the straight and narrow, but he is maybe a little corrupt. Yeah.
Like, he's aware of the corruption's going on, I think, but he kind of turns an eye a little bit and tries to stay the straight and narrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or he's just powerless.
Yeah.
More powerless. Yeah. So it's like, you know, seems like he, you know, Eggsley did a really good job of kind of twisting him into, you know, giving him the medal and, you know, putting him in a new position of power as the captain.
In some ways, they're all despicable characters in a way, but yet you find something you can relate to in some of them, because some of them do have their moral centers and are trying to do the right thing, you know, but yet there's so much corruption going around them. It's, as a viewer, you don't even know who to trust throughout the movie in some ways.
Yeah.
But you lean towards Russell Crowe's character because he's just that edgy cop, but you're not sure about Exley till late in the film. You know, you're like, is he good or is he, you know?
Yeah, with Russell's character, he's more of a what you see is what you get. Mm-hmm. You know?
And you have Jack, right? Jack, Kevin Spacey's character, it is Jack, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Dean Martin-esque, you know, performance that he puts on. I think, you know, at first he's all in it for the fame, and then he finds...
He realizes,
you know, something, you know, something's going on, and he wants to try and help Eggsley. And man, that scene with Cromwell, you don't, there's no buildup, there's no notion or anything. He just gets shot, and you're like, what the hell just happened?
Yes.
You know, I think that scene was just crazy. You have to rewind it and be like, was there hint? You know, did he flinch or?
And two, this is, you know, despite Spacey's public problems in the last few years, this is peak Kevin Spacey during this era. He's really good in this movie, playing kind of the sleazy Hollywood cop, but yet also doing the right thing. And when he gets shot, like, it's shocking, and it's a really good death scene. He plays it very well. You know?
Yeah. And very crucial scene too. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because, it changes the film entirely in that moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he gives the one little name off that, you know, puts Exley on the go, you know, puts him on the right path, you know, just from that incident.
Yeah.
But yeah, you definitely, Cromwell turned out to be one of the best villains in any movie, you know. Yeah. So,
and he really thought he was going to walk away with it at the end.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
He stayed confident the entire time. He's like, yeah.
Show your badge so they know you're a cop.
Yeah.
I'll make you my chief of police. My lieutenant.
So anyways, you liked it, huh?
I liked it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
For me personally, I really like the movie. The movie is very intense, I felt. It has a level of intensity right from the Night Owl massacre. And from that point, it was just go, 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 for me at least. As far as, okay, why are these people killed? And the chase is on to solve the crime. And it just doesn't let up in a way for me personally. I was definitely immersed in what was going on. My brother, he was telling me that he watched Chinatown, and he said that both had very similar plots, but the ending to Chinatown wasn't as good as the ending to L.A. Confidential. And he said he was glad that I saw L.A. Confidential first before watching Chinatown. So, yeah, starring Jack Nicholson.
Right.
But, yeah, it's I really enjoyed the movie, and yeah, Russell Crowe, he kept up that he was definitely pretty intense throughout the whole movie. I mean, even through the quiet moments, the dude, he just has that presence on screen, you know,
right?
That quiet, but that charisma.
Yeah, and then even at the end of the movie, when it's revealed that he survives the shootout, and he doesn't say a word to Exley's character. They just shake hands and have this mutual respect for each other. And it's just like, even in that moment, he's still just kind of a powerful acting job by him.
Yeah.
You know, and it is funny because there's a scene where he's in a muscle shirt. And I'm like, damn, he's buff as hell in this movie. And now you see him in films and he's like older and gained weight. It's like,
He doesn't care anymore.
Yeah, it's so weird seeing 23 years ago, seeing him in a movie compared to now. And, But he is really good in this film. You know, like I said, I think this feels to me like a really well acted film, kind of like a throwback in some ways to the old films of the 50s and 60s. with the style and the way it's acted. Just everyone's delivering their lines the way they should. There's no one's overacting this movie. No one's underacting. It's all well done. And I it's a really great thriller, a great whodunit in a way, with a lot of surprise moments in it too, from being Dudley being the bad guy to the shooting of Jack, you know, which, like you said, that's like, wow, that just kind of happened. Mm-hmm. And then the whole time,
mystery movie too.
The whole time you think Lynn has something to do with it. In the end, she's just kind of a victim like the rest of them. She's just kind of caught in the middle of them, you know? And then, I did feel kind of bad though, at the end of the movie though, she doesn't go with Bud. She goes with Exley. I'm like, well, that sucks. You know, it's like Exley stole Bud's girl. Yeah.
That's true, man. I thought she was going to end up with Bud, because she
wait a minute. Wait a minute. Didn't at the end of the movie she is going with Bud to Arizona?
Is that what happens when she gets in the car? I thought they were all three in the car.
Oh, maybe so. Yeah.
No. I watched it last night. Lynn went into the car to drive to go to Bixby, Arizona to visit her hometown. Exley shook Bud's hand to see him off.
Yeah, right. And, that's what that was.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. When did y'all watch this? Did y'all watch this movie?
I watched it Saturday, Sunday.
And, did you fall asleep?
No, I didn't fall asleep. I didn't. I had a full night's rest on that one.
I was thinking the
weekend, I'm good.
I was thinking a weird thing when I watched this movie. Like, whenever Bud goes into the cellar and finds the body of Buzz, I was thinking, like, you know, I wonder how often that happened in the 1950s. You know, there were a lot of missing cases back then. How many people hid bodies in cellars? You know? Yeah. It's like, I couldn't help but think that.
I think a rat got behind the wall. She's like, was it a rat? Oh, yeah, a big one.
Yeah. That poor old lady, man. I felt sorry for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Losing her daughter and all that. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't even recognize her own daughter in the morgue.
Yeah, because there was an odd character. Yeah, there was an odd kind of underlying subplot where the porn matriarch, or whatever you call him, would do plastic surgery on his girls to make them look like movie stars. So it was kind of a strange. And then there's this whole lie where Kim Bassinger's Lynn's like, oh, no, this is how I really looked. He didn't do anything to me. And it's just like, I thought that's the only weird part of the film that was like, it didn't seem to serve a lot of purpose other than her not being able to identify her daughter. It's like, that was kind of an odd subplot going on there. And of course,
but it made sense as you watch it again.
Right. And, what's his name plays, the porn star. He's always such a good actor when he's in stuff. Damn it. What's his name? Strayin or something like that.
Oh, you talking about the tycoon?
Yeah.
David Strayan.
Yeah, he's always very good in everything he's in. You know, he's a good actor. I remember there was a movie he did with George Clooney, Good Night and Good Luck, that he's really good in.
He was also good in Godzilla.
He was in the first one, or?
First and second, yeah. Oh. He played the general.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but those aren't actor movies. Those are popcorn flicks.
Still. Yeah, Stram. Yep.
Yeah. But he's always a good actor.
Credit is due.
But I'm glad you guys enjoyed the movie, because I know I hyped it up a little bit. And I've always thought this was a very, very good cop thriller. I was actually surprised. I think it was nominated for Best Picture. I don't know what it went up against in 1997 that wouldn't have won.
Titanic.
Oh, that's right. Titanic won that.
It was nominated in 9 categories in the Oscars, and all 9 categories were taken by Titanic.
Well, I thought this won best. I thought Kim Bassinger won for Best Supporting Actress for this.
I don't know.
I'm gonna look it up, because now I have to know.
But I know that Titanic snatched all of the awards.
Well, sure,
it from won all LA Confidential.
It won 2 Oscars: Best Actress Supporting Role for Kim Bassinger, and Best Adapted Screenplay, because it's based on a novel. Okay. So it did win 2. It was nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, Cinematography, Art Direction, a bunch of other, you know.
You haven't heard much about from the director from that. You figured that would be a good springboard.
Yeah. Curtis Hanson. Well, he passed away in 2016, actually. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, yeah, this is probably his biggest hit. But he only made 18 films. His last thing he made was called Chasing Mavericks in 2012. He did 8 Mile, the Eminem movie. I knew it. Yeah, that was a good film.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's The River Wild, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. But yeah, L.A. Confidential and 8 Mile are probably the two biggest things he's done then. So.
Yeah, he. There was talk of a sequel, and it was going to set in the 70s.
And yeah, because I think there's another book.
Yeah, Chadwick Boseman was going to be in the lead role, mm-hmm. with Exley and White being in senior roles.
Yeah. I remember hearing about that, too, and it just never came to play. Yeah, because this is based on a book. I think there's 2 or 3 books in the series, if I remember right. But yeah, who knows? Maybe one day it'll get made. You know, Russell Crowe could do it. I'm not sure. Guy Pearce ain't done shit lately. Well, his last thing, he was in Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3, probably.
You know, it's like he just sort of just out there. See, but I'm glad you
locked down,
huh?
Lockdown. He's in that space movie, Lockdown.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He Guy Pearce, one of those actors, kind of will show up and stuff. And he was in a Alien, Prometheus. Remember, he was he was like the guy who was trying to get the alien technology or whatever, the company guy. So yeah, he shows up and stuff now and then. But well, so what do you guys rank this movie since y'all watched it for the first time?
I definitely give it an A+.
Give it a solid A.
Man, you got to be the oddball, Matt, because I give it A+ too. I think this is I think it's a great crime thriller. One of the best ones out there in the genre. So, Matt has wrote our perfect A+ score. God damn it, Matt.
It's because it was challenging his perception on cops back then. That's why.
Your dog's barking at the Mexican.
Could be. Hey, I'm surrounded by him.
That got Matt. Matt just didn't like to see where they beat the Mexicans up in the jail cell, so that's why he gave it an A.
They were all drunk.
No, because they didn't beat them hard enough. That's why. No, I'm joking.
If you want to go yell at your dog for a minute, you can.
Yeah, give me a second.
All right. Well, I guess that brings us to today's top 5 then, as talking a crime noir thriller there, and so we thought we would do top 5 dames or damsels, I guess, and not necessarily damsels in distress, but just dames. And I am
top 5 neo noir or noir found this style list. Women.
Well, mine's definitely not neo noir because I got a sci-fi chick in here. So I mean, this, I don't know. I found this list kind of challenging. I don't know. I didn't really know what to do with it, but you know, Matt. You know, he always picks the top 5. He gives an idea. Me and Long always shoot it out. Your idea sucks. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to throw Matt a bone this week, and we'll use his top 5 idea.
Yeah.
And it was hard. Now, this might have been harder than the top 5 boats one that time.
Boats?
Yes, which is still lame.
That was fun. That was fun, and you know it. So, me and Matt had fun, at least.
I had fun, definitely.
As long as 2 out of 3 enjoyed it, it's all that matters.
It was lame.
Yeah.
You know, this list, I actually poo-pooed it a bit earlier, but I actually had fun making this list. So,
well, you get to go first then, Long. You're number 5.
Okay. All right. Number 5. I didn't catch her name, but she's the blonde chick from Lethal Weapon 2. Yeah.
I don't know what to say because you said the blonde chick. Okay.
The blonde chick from Lethal Weapon 2.
Yeah.
Doesn't help very much, but okay.
Well, she's the Dutch.
She's the one that's naked in the beach or the beach house or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I need. And then
she's still a crucial plot. She's still a crucial plot point for Riggs. I mean,
right.
She died, just loving the guy, and then that sets him off.
I just remembered the nude scene, so that's all you had to tell me.
That's great. That's my start off. What's her name? I don't know.
I've got Kim Basinger in the film we just covered on this one. I feel like she's got a cool story, you know, and I think you feel for her because she's being used, but she also has you know, emotions for Russell Crowe's character, and it all gets all messed up because of Guy Pearce and Danny DeVito.
She was an 8 Mile, wasn't she?
Yeah,
she was.
She plays Rabbit's mom.
Yeah. Boy, dude, I like her in that one too.
Yeah,
for different reasons.
Hey, Eight Mile is a good film, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Number five, I have Princess Leia at number five. One of the first dames I ever grew up watching, you know. And
dames.
I mean, you know, Princess Leia is a top dame, man. I mean, you know, she keeps Han Solo under control and keeps the boys in line, and she's tough to boot. So,
I kept all my women in the crime genre.
Good for you. Hey, well, Jabba the Hutt's a gangster, okay?
Okay. All right, I'll give you that one.
Yeah, and there's international trade treaties that are being broken. That's the prequels. Crime.
That's yeah. The prequels. All right, Long, you're number four.
My number four is Mia Wallace from Pulp Fiction. You know, she strings the guys along. She nearly drives Vincent crazy with her antics. Mm-hmm. And married to what's the Wallace from, you know, the crime boss. You know, so Mia Wallace, that's my number four.
Number four for me?
Pulp Fiction.
No, nice. I've got Madonna and Dick Tracy.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. So I feel like she is like, you know, you want that sultry girl that's like messing with the cop's head, you know, and he's trying to do his job, but you've got this sexy woman right there, and he's just, damn, I'm trying to do my job, woman, you know.
But she's also crucial to the plot, too.
Yeah, she is. She really is.
She was the faceless henchman.
Oh yeah,
the blank, I guess.
The blank.
Yeah. At number four, I have the movie that L.A. Confidential lost to. I have Rose from Titanic. I mean, you know, steals the heart of Jack and a greatly told story, and the world fell in love with Rose and Jack too in 1997 as the movie made a shit ton of money. And it's a film that I think people like to make fun of a lot because Titanic's a great film, regardless of what people say. And Rose is a classic dame in that movie. And plus, you know, draw me like your girls, Jack.
Number three, Nancy Callahan from the first Sin City movie. Nice. I mean, even the second one too. I mean, she had more of a character development in part two. She was less of a victim and more of an avenging character. But yeah, I'll go with Nancy Callahan and the Sin City movies.
I did not expect Jessica Alba to show up on this list, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She looked really good in those movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've got one from a movie that's not so great, but it's the woman that we're focusing on, and that is Skojo as Silken Floss in The Spirit.
But there's better roles for her you could have chose from.
But
Skojo? Who's Skojo?
Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, ScarJo. Oh, yeah. Okay. Skojo. I was like, who's Skojo?
It's funny because I really wanted to put Scarlett on this list because that's my major celebrity crush, but I just couldn't think of a movie that really she stood out for me as a true dame. Because she's either in action movies or very small supporting roles like The Prestige, you know?
Yeah.
I couldn't think of one where she played a true dame.
You could have stressed
the Spirit. The
Prestige,
dude,
maybe.
I'm going to wipe my ass and watch The Spirit ever again. The movie was so bad.
Well, yeah, the movie was bad, but there was only two good parts of that movie.
You stretched a little bit there, Matt, but I'll allow it.
Yeah.
At number three, I have I have Kim Basinger, but I tied her with her role in this movie, L.A. Confidential, and as Vicki Vale in Batman. You know, I even though she's more of a damsel in distress in that movie, she's still kind of a dame. So, you know, I just felt like those are always the two movies I remember her from, are L.A. Confidential and well, of course, Wayne's World. But you know,
yeah.
So I went with Kim Basinger number three as Lynn and as Vicki Vale.
There we go.
Number two, Ava Green from Sin City 2. Man, that is the epitome of femme fatale, or dame, I guess, or crime noir.
Could even and Ava, even as you could even use Ava Green even as Vespa, even in that movie.
Yeah. But yeah, Ava Green definitely the one of the main driving points of Sin City 2, one of the main characters, and her character is evil.
Yeah.
So that's my number two.
Yep. So I've got the other good part of the spirit, and that's Eva Mendes as Sans Serif. The movie sucks, but she's a true dame in that movie. I mean, those are the only two good parts in that movie, and maybe Sarah Paulson. But yeah, Samuel Jackson just out of his mind in that movie.
At number two, I have Marion Ravenwood from Raiders of the Lost Ark. I mean, you know, definitely a tough dame, no doubt, but she keeps the Indiana Jones in line. And, you know, she could be sexy if she needed to, but she also kicks a lot of ass in that movie. And, you know, one of the greatest action movies ever made, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Marion Ravenwood.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Number one, starting off. Jessica Rabbit from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Thank you.
Oh, man.
Thank you.
She's not even real.
The best. Man.
She's still a character. She's still a noir dame.
Man, I did not think about that long.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's the best pick. That's the best
Jessica Rabbit from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
She's the focal point. Might as well just pick. Kim Basinger played, what's her name, in Cool World. You know, animated character. So, you know.
Yeah, but she's not Jessica Rabbit. Women strive to look.
There are people who love blondes.
Come on. Yeah, but Cool World's Who Framed Roger Rabbit's a good movie. Cool World's kind of eh. Just not that great of a film.
That had Brad Pitt in it, didn't it?
Yeah, very young Brad Pitt in it.
Very young Brad Pitt.
And, Brad Pitt. Gabriel Byrne. Brad Pitt has talked about he had no idea what was going on when he filmed that movie. he even said it before. He goes, I have no idea what we were doing. You're sitting there trying to act with animated characters, and he was like, what? Yeah.
So I have your number.
And Kim Basinger was the chick, wasn't she?
Yes, that's what I just said.
Yeah,
that's right. Sorry, I was yawning when you said that.
I have your number four pick a little higher long. I've got Jessica Alba from Sin City as number one. Well, Sin City 1 and 2. But, you know, she's just, you know, she's awesome.
Yes. What can I say? It's kind of funny. I was reading an article about how people would say that Jessica Alba's a very bad actor.
She's not terrible.
She's not terrible.
No, she's okay. She's a standard actor, but she really did her best in Sin City 2, you know?
Yeah.
She went to the whole method acting thing, too.
Well, there was a movie. You know, y'all say I don't like comedies, but there was a movie she did with, it was like Good Luck Chuck or something.
Oh yeah,
yeah. She was that was actually a pretty funny movie. It was with what's his name? Yeah, she was actually legitimately funny in that movie. She did a good job.
I first saw her in Idle Hands.
Yes, that was
weird horror movie. Yeah.
Well,
all right. My number one
that I think Long will appreciate is the original dame from the Golden Age of Hollywood is Andaro from King Kong. You know, I mean. Yeah, Fay Wray playing her and bringing her to life on the big screen, and you know, she could be considered the creator of the dame, damsel in distress, or the dame.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
And
you know, I was going to really do a deep dive on the like golden era. I was going to go with either Lauren Bacall from Maltese Falcon.
Oh yeah, or Katharine Hepburn movies or whatever. Yeah.
or what's that chick's name? From Casablanca.
Oh yeah.
What's her name?
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. They're all those Marilyn Monroe.
No, it wasn't her. Ingrid Bergman. That's her name.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been some deep dive in there.
But yeah. Or I was going to name nothing but Kim Basinger roles for the top five.
I considered that. I was like, I'm just going to do five. Yeah, because Kim Basinger always had that classical Hollywood look to her, you know, with the big blonde hair and the lips, and she always fit that role very well, and and she always did very good in everything she was in. So, I mean, I'm talking to her like in the past tense. I know she still acts, but it doesn't seem she's in as much as she used to be.
Not since her divorce from Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. Well, let's do a little bit of news. Good top five, guys. There's not a whole lot to talk about, but a little bit. We just mentioned Marion Ravenwood. Well, Mads Mikkelsen has joined the cast of Indiana Jones 5. It's getting very interesting. I would think that he's got to be the villain, right, guys? I mean, you're gonna cast guy who played Hannibal and the bad guy in Casino Royale. I mean, it just feels like Mikkelsen going up against Harrison Ford just seems right. I think he
might be playing a henchman to the chick that they cast.
Right? Yeah, they cast the one girl from the one thing. I don't know her name.
Fleabag.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know. I mean, I trust in James Mangold. He's made enough good films that at first I thought, man, do we need the Indiana Jones 5? But man, Mangold's really good. So I'm curious to see what he's going to do with this and give us one more good Indiana Jones film before Harrison calls it quits. So it should be fun. Did y'all watch the Army of the Dead trailer?
Yeah.
Man, that looks like a lot of fun. You know, Zack Snyder's coming off the success of the Justice League cut. And this is his follow-up to his Dawn of the Dead movie. It's somewhat a sequel because, from what I understand, it's in the same universe as Dawn of the Dead, but yet it's a different part of that world. Dave Bautista. I really like the Kenny Rogers song playing over the trailer. And, of course, the big reveal at the end. I mean, the zombie tiger is badass, you know. And people have always talked about that. Like, you have these zombie shows, but what about the animals? And it's been approached in video games, but no one ever does it in films and television. So that looks really cool. The movie just looks like a lot of fun. And it's going to be on Netflix May 21st, also limited in theaters. So if you want to go see it on the big screen, you can, or you can watch it at home on Netflix. And looking forward to that. And then I've
never seen Dawn of the Dead.
Never seen it. It might be on Netflix or Hulu or something. It's pretty fun. I actually like Dawn of the Dead. The Lord of the Rings series is coming to Amazon. Season one alone is going to cost $485 million.
Wow.
As Amazon announced the budget today for the show, that's just for the first season. Incredible for a television show to cost that much, because you're thinking 10 to 12 episodes probably for the first season. I mean, you think about, like, Avengers Endgame had a budget of like $230 million, and that's a movie. This is a television
show. Have they even filmed anything yet?
They're in – I think it's begun filming, from what I understand, yeah. Because I know it was it had been delayed because of COVID, but they're using all the same sets and everything that were still up in New Zealand. But I do believe it has resumed filming because I remember reading something. So, yeah, I think they're working on things. And I guess this is a prequel to Lord of the Rings or something. So, we'll see. And I guess because I remember reading, I know their films. Remember something too long ago? Viggo Mortensen actually went and visited the set, and you know, was kind of giving his blessing, saying it looks really amazing. So we'll see. And I think it's coming out early next year, or later this year, so pretty soon. So yeah, I think they're starting filming. So cool stuff. But that's all the news I got. It wasn't a whole lot this week. Things, unless you guys have anything I missed. But I went down all the news sites and I didn't see anything kind of new. So let's preview next week's film before we get out of here. We're going to conclude Cops and Mobsters Month with a Best Picture winner. And maybe one of Martin Scorsese's best films, but people could argue that because he's had a lot of good films. Some people prefer Goodfellas. Some people prefer Casino. And some people prefer this film. It's just, I guess, a matter of choice when it comes to Scorsese. You're not going to lose. But we're going to talk we're going to go 2007, I think it was, The Departed. On next week's show.
When I was your age, they would say we could become cops or criminals. What I'm saying is this. When you're facing a loaded gun, what's the difference?
This is not the regular police. This is the state police.
We are an elite unit.
This is who we're after.
Frank Costello.
You won't be paid as a regular cop, but there's a bonus involved.
So what do I do?
You will not ever know the identity of undercover people.
Do you have anyone in with Costello presently?
Maybe.
Do you know who I am?
Maybe not.
I'm gonna have my associates search you.
That was quick. Think he's dead already?
Get your hands off me!
I think we could work something out. We are all convinced that Costello has at least one mole inside the Special Investigations Unit.
There are parts of my job I can't talk to you about.
Man, you are trouble.
You don't know the half of it.
You better get organized, quick.
Hey, last time I checked, I tipped you off, and you're not in jail.
Getting the feeling we got a cop in my crew.
Soon a lady's gonna find out who I am, and he's gonna kill me.
I can get the rap. You just gotta let me do it my way.
If you don't, it won't be me who pays for it.
There was a leak from the inside. It's real, man. Smoke him out. Smoke on the horizon.
You are only coming through gateway. You're lying to me.
There are things you don't want to know about. Your lips move,
but I can't hear. What are you waiting for? Honestly, I mean, do you want him to chop me up and feed me to the poor? Is that what you guys want?
How's your mother?
She's on her way out.
You all are. Act accordingly.
This is a good movie. I know, Long, you don't like the ending, and that's okay. You know, there's not a lot of movies. We did 310 to Yuma a few weeks ago. I hate the ending of that movie. You know, so sometimes you just don't like the ending of movies. But overall, this is a great, great film. I started rewatching it last night, and I forgot how this kind of – it's really – extremely well paced. Like, I was watching, I'm like, wow, 45 minutes went by quick, and I was like, I need to go to bed. So it's gonna be a fun one to talk about, and it's such good performances. Jack Nicholson's so good in this movie. Ray Winstone, Leonardo DiCaprio, a lot of good. Mark Wahlberg, who's excellent in the movie. So a lot to talk about next week on the show when we talk to The Departed, and it is on Netflix, Matt. So you don't have to rent it.
There we go.
It's on Netflix and HBO Max. There's a couple places you can watch it. I actually have a copy of it on Blu-ray, but it is available to watch for free. Well, not for free, but on the services you pay for. So that should be next week's show. And I can save that story for next week. But I actually saw The Departed with my mom in theaters, and I was like, wow, my mom's really not going to like all the language of this movie. But I remember walking out of the theater, my mom going, that was really good. I really enjoyed it. I'm like, wow, she wasn't mad about the F-bomb every 5 seconds. I think if I remember right, I pre-warned her. I'm like, Mommy, there's going to be a lot of cussing in this movie. She's like, it's okay. I can handle it. So, because they do drop a lot of F-bombs in this movie. But that's next week's show as we talk The Departed. But that's all we got. Thank you all for listening. The RubberRadioPodcast.com for all your needs. And be safe out there and have a good week. And until next week, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the noir detective.
And as always, remember, just go there and do it.
Do it.
Do it.